and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kaveh Taqvayi. The war on Syria, hard to keep up with the developments there, from significant gains of the army against insurgents to UN investigators' conclusion that it was the insurgents, indeed, who had used chemical weapons during the conflict. Meanwhile, politically, the U.S. and Russia have agreed to a proposal like the Geneva Accord as the way to go and have called for a conference later this month. Well, in this debate, we'll be discussing these major developments and ask whether an endgame is nearing in this over two-year-old conflict. Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Commentator and broadcaster with the Ugly Truth Radio Network, Mark Dankoff, joins us from San Antonio. And U.S. Director of World Council for the Cedars Revolution, John Hajjar, joins us from Boston. Gentlemen, welcome. John Hajjar, let me start with you. On the one hand, you have the UN investigator Carla Del Ponte, who has said there was evidence that the insurgents had used chemical weapons. Why somewhat of a cold reception there, to say the least, from Turkey and from Britain to that? But instead, they have come out and again blamed the Syrian government of using chemical weapons.
Well, I'm not so sure that both sides wouldn't be using them. I mean, why is Syria possessing chemical weapons in the first place? They shouldn't have those chemical weapons. They violate various international agreements, and they should not be in possession of those weapons. So, you know, you're dealing with radical Salafists on one hand and radical Khomeinists on the other, or supporters thereof. And in Syria now is... has been allied itself very closely, as we know, with the Islamic Republic of Iran, with Hezbollah in Lebanon, with the Hezbollah Kataib in Iraq, and the Abu al-Fadl Abbas Brigade, and Asaib al-Ahl al-Haq in Iraq as well. So this has really broadened the conflict to beyond just Syria. And it's a very volatile situation. Hezbollah is creating all kind of problems, not only in Syria. Instead of resisting the Israelis as they claim they're supposed to be doing, they're creating problems for our brother Syrians, and also in Iraq. This is a conflagration that could really blow up the whole Middle East. It's a very dangerous development.
The red line, the U.S. said, was the use of chemical weapons. And I'm going to ask you again, John Hajjar, why has there not been a proactive approach when it comes to a UN investigator who has said that the insurgents, who are Western-backed, including some regional countries, at fault for using chemical weapons?
I agree. I don't speak for the U.S. government. I think you're better off directing that question to the State Department and to President Obama.
Very well.
Mark, he sets one red line after another and doesn't act on it.
Very well. Let's move on. Mark Dankoff, Russia, very busy these days hosting guests. First, the U.S. visit by Secretary of State John Kerry. The result, they've agreed what Russia has said all along, the Geneva Accord should be the roadmap to end the conflict. Of course, they cited their own proposal, but it mirrors that. Why would the U.S. at this time come out and agree to that?
I think you're dealing with a situation where the United States, which has been led around by the Zionist state of Israel by the nose since these latest Middle Eastern incursions began in 2001 and 2003, suddenly finds itself in a very precarious position. The United States is overextended militarily. The United States is overextended economically. And as Pat Buchanan has pointed out, the latest poll taken by the Huffington Post shows that the people of the United States oppose arming these rebels by a 3-to-1 margin. They oppose American airstrikes in Syria by a 4-to-1 margin. They oppose American boots on the ground in Syria by a 14-to-1 margin. And so as the United States is beginning to position American troops on the Jordanian-Syrian border, and as the Zionist-controlled Western news media is spinning this conflict in the same way that it did in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, more sensible Americans are beginning to understand that the United States, the people of the United States, don't have a dog in this hunt, and that this whole thing is being driven by the very people that Dr. Philip Giraldi identifies today at antiwar.com as the gatekeepers of Zion.
Well, John Hajjar, let's talk about what many are saying, and I'm going to put the comparison made here of the advances
laughable.
Go ahead, John Hajjar. If you have a reaction, go ahead.
I mean, just to listen to Mr. Dankoff speak, I can't help but giggle. I mean, he talks about the United States being overextended militarily, and he may have a point there, but what about Iran being overextended militarily? What business does Iran have to play in
what about
Arab
Israel's chemical weapons? Why not? What about Israel's chemical weapons?
That's two borders removed. Hold on, sir. I'll let you speak. Two borders removed. Why are they destabilizing Lebanon? Hezbollah is playing a very dangerous game. They're destabilizing all of Lebanon. You have Iranian Revolutionary Guard troops in Syria. You have Quds forces, besieged forces, all these other militias that I've mentioned previously. So, I mean, I find it curious where, you know, Obama and most of the Western world have acted with restraint in Syria. And you're claiming there's some kind of Zionist conspiracy with little or no proof or facts to support that. I don't know where you're getting your facts, but somewhere you're really gone down the wrong path, Mr. Dankoff. And I really don't know how you can make these statements, but that are completely lacking in fact.
Mark Dankoff, go ahead.
Completely lacking in fact. Let's take a look at what Dr. Philip Giraldi, a former CIA station chief, has written today at antiwar.com about the gatekeepers of Zion. For anyone who has looked at this situation, not simply in terms of the last decade, but even prior to it, it's very obvious that American foreign policy since 1948 in the Middle East has been driven by Israel. No one can possibly deny that. And when we look at this present situation as it stands, the United States and its decision to invade Iraq, the United States and its decision to involve itself in Afghanistan, the United States and getting NATO to intervene in Libya is working at the behest of a Jewish neoconservative lobby that controls both the Republican and the Democratic parties. I would ask the American people to read Dr. Giraldi's piece today entitled The Gatekeepers of Zion. Who are the people whose fingerprints are all over the American position on this subject? We're talking about the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, our Public Affairs Committee. We're talking about the American Jewish Committee. We're talking about the Council of of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. We're talking about the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. All of these people, in addition to the Hudson Institute, the American Enterprise Institute, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, and so forth and so on, have obvious, provable, direct links to the Israeli lobby, the Israeli intelligence community, and all the Jewish cash that is buying these American political elections that continues to finance this madness. That is a matter of record, sir. You might read something other than the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal to figure that out.
John Hajar, if you have a reaction.
Well, it's curious that you're arguing, our host that is arguing that the United States is not acting in spite of the evidence of the use of chemical weapons, and your guest Mr. Dankoff is arguing that it's a vast neoconservative Zionist conspiracy. Which is it? There's no American troops on the ground. There are no Israeli troops on the ground. The only people on the only troops on the ground right now, besides native Syrians, are Iranians and Hezbollah. And those are the people that have no business in this fight in Syria. It's a tragic, what's happened in Syria is tragic. There's 70,000 people that are dead in Syria. Yes, some of them are terrorists on both sides, but overwhelming majority of poor women and children, civilians, that have been chased from their homes, that have been maimed, and that have seen their brothers, their fathers, their sisters killed. So don't tell me about conspiracies from the Zionists and from the neoconservatives. Right now, there's no conspiracy. Iran is in Syria killing people, and so is Hezbollah. Where is their resistance
to
Israel?
Who is financing the other side
Zionist
of this
conspiracy,
conflict,
why
sir?
Isn't Hezbollah fighting?
Go ahead, Mark Dankoff.
What's that?
Mark Dankoff.
Who is financing the other side in this Syrian war? Who is financing these Sunni Wahhabic fanatics? Who is financing Al-Qaeda in Syria? Who is financing
Saudi Arabia,
this Al-Nusra organization?
I'll answer you. Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey.
That's right.
Primarily.
Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Cooperation Council states because of the deal that they have cut with the Zionist State of Israel and the United States behind the scene to support these Al-Qaeda extremists in Syria against the Iranians and against Hezbollah.
Well, John Hajar, let's put this into perspective.
Everybody knows, when you start telling me that the Zionists are working with the Gulf Cooperation County, they're sworn enemies.
Israel is
a sworn enemy of Saudi Arabia, of Qatar, of every Arab country besides Jordan and in Egypt. In Egypt, I don't know how much longer their cold peace will last now that the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over in Egypt. So don't tell me that there's some kind of cooperation or there's some kind of conspiracy between the Israelis in all these Arab countries you mentioned. You have no fact to back that up. And
they have a Machiavellian interest.
Really sheds.
Well, first of all, let me come in here, and John Hajar, let me come in here quickly.
That's all
time
you can
out.
Come up with. You have no proof at all.
Let me come in here and tell you, John Hajar, there are reports, plenty of reports, indicating that the CIA and the Mossad have been in Turkey in that NATO base that obviously houses U.S. Not only soldiers along with Turkish soldiers, but also CIA and Mossad operatives that have been training some of these insurgents. But right now, we've reached some kind of a juncture. I'd like to move on
There's
to
no
that juncture.
There's no proof of that. Absolutely none.
Okay, let's move on to the juncture
There's
that
no
we're
proof
at.
Of that.
There, well, there's that I have. If we want to get down to proof, we should go and talk about some of the allegations that you're making in terms of Hezbollah and the Iranian part of this whole war on Syria. But let's move to the juncture right now.
Hassan Nasrallah said Hezbollah is cooperating with the regime of the murderous regime of Bashar Assad. He's admitted it. He said it in Iran. He said it in Tehran.
And we could,
I just feel badly for the poor people of Iran who are seeing all of their resource, all their vast oil wealth being squandered to kill the poor Syrian people. Instead of using that money for economic development and lifting them out of poverty in Iran, that money is being squandered and killing people in Syria.
Not to mention $500 million that the U.S. has just upped in terms of the aid that they call non-lethal aid going to these insurgents. Not to mention about the fact that obviously 200 minimum CIA operatives, not only in Turkey, but it was mentioned in Jordan, that are training these insurgents. But let's move to the juncture right now, John Hajar.
That's a pittance compared to what Iran is spending.
Well, okay. Russia and U.S. agree to hold Syrian peace conference. I'd like to get to this. Ask you what you think of that, because it's even some of the headlines are reading regime and insurgents will be invited to attend after John Kerry strikes deal with Sergei Lavrov in Moscow. Do you think that a deal was struck and why? Why at this point?
I really can't say. All I can say is Russia is very hesitant to lose its strongest ally in the Arab world. The regime, the murderous regime of Bashar Assad, they're very hesitant to lose their only Mediterranean port, the port of Tartus in Syria, and Putin has some dictatorial tendencies, and he's showing that these days by standing idly by while tens of thousands of poor Syrians are being slaughtered.
If it's a dictatorial,
between the U.S. and Russia.
Mark Dankoff, our guest, talks about a dictatorial tendency, but it's what the U.S. has agreed to, haven't they, in terms of that, the accord, the Geneva Accord, of which they say now it's a new proposal, but it really mirrors that. Why has the U.S. at this point, and not to mention the Prime Minister David Cameron, somewhat switched their positions? They're more cordial towards Russia. What has occurred?
Well, I think there are several things. Again, as I've cited before, the American people oppose American military and intelligence involvement in Syria and black operational intelligence in Syria by 3-1, 4-1, and 14-1 margins. I don't think anyone has escaped looking at the fact that an American $17 trillion national debt and an overextension of our military empire abroad in these fishing expeditions for Israel is destroying the fabric of this country politically, economically, and militarily. And then, of course, I think President Putin, with these intimations about S-300 surface-to-air missile sales to Syria, is sending a signal that Russia and potentially Beijing will be more proactive this time in trying to stop these American, British, Israeli, and NATO interventions and fishing expeditions in the Middle East and Central Asia. So the United States, it would appear, is listening at least to a little bit of sound political and military advice from some folks who are not on Netanyahu's payroll, suggesting that this Syrian situation could be an American quicksand very, very quickly.
John Hajar, that was one of the stumbling blocks until today, and that's the sale of these surface-to-air missiles, the S-300. But Russia said they're completing an old agreement, and they're going to finalize that sale with no new sales to come. Do you think that's going to affect the efforts that was made by John Kerry in Russia?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. All I can say is, you know, all this talk of the U.S. doing the bidding of Netanyahu, I don't see the proof of that. I see a U.S. government, as Mr. Dankoff said, that's in serious debt, $17 trillion, and a president in Obama who has done everything he can to withdraw from any of the conflicts, both in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and doing everything he can to move back the line that he drew, the red line that he drew concerning chemical weapons, as you stated the opening of the show. So you have no proof at all that the U.S. is looking to intervene militarily in any way. We've offered humanitarian assistance to some rebels. We've invited some rebels, to some of the leaders of the Syrian National Council here in the United States, to try to seek a peaceful solution. And the United States has done a tremendous job in supporting and training the Lebanese armed forces to fight terror and to protect their borders. But that is yet to happen. And Hezbollah is playing a very, very dangerous role in Lebanon and in Iran and in Syria, killing a lot of people, diverting their attention from what their claimed goal is, to liberate Arab land from the Israelis. If you claim, in fact, that there is a Zionist conspiracy, why is Hezbollah not fighting on the southern Lebanese border? And why is the murderous regime of Bashar Assad, that has more Arab blood and not one iota of Jewish blood or Zionist blood on its hands? Never once have they taken on the Israelis from the Golan or through from Lebanon when Hezbollah started its miscalculated adventure in 2006. Not once did Syria offer any assistance. So
Let's take a quick time out since we're quickly running out of time. Hold on to your thoughts, John Hajar. Let's tune into a viewer comment that's posted on the Facebook page on the topic of this debate.
The NATO-backed rebels use chemical weapons in an engineered attempt to frame the Syrian government. That's why all the talk about the red line ended abruptly. There are no good signs in this, and it's all in a US effort to defend the petrodollar. This is not a U-turn in policy. The policy remains the same: to force OPEC nations to continue selling oil in US dollars. It's just that it isn't publicly made policy.
That's one of our viewers there who posted this, Bill Preston. Mark Dankoff, do you have a reaction to that in particular? Of course, the use of chemical weapons that this viewer mentioned.
Well, again, when we look at this use of chemical weapons, we've already noted that Carla Del Ponte, this UN investigator who is a former Swiss attorney general, is now telling us, as the New York Times is having to concede, that the evidence of the utilization of sarin gas in Syria is a gas that has been used not by Assad's regime, but by the al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, Wahhabic elements that are trying to overthrow his government. I suggest that that's a microcosm of a much bigger picture in the way that all of this is being spun in the American and Western news media. And when it comes to the whole business of the petrodollar, I don't think there's any question that whether you're looking at Muammar Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, that the American interest in regime change in all of these various parts of the world has been and continues to be the protection of a petrodollar that's in very, very serious trouble as more and more countries consider an alternative to the American dollar in terms of oil transactions specifically and economic transactions generally.
John Hajar, since we're really short on time, again, do you think that there's a possibility, based on some of the developments, A, of the Syrian forces making lots of advancements, that you're looking at the FSA actually being defeated? And, of course, you have the al-Nusra Front at the same time. And is that why we're seeing this somewhat diplomatic and political push by the West in order to move with a political solution to this conflict?
Well, we hope there's a political solution to the conflict, so people stop dying. But, you know, the United States and many of the Western nations have been trying to seek a diplomatic solution from the beginning. And regarding petrodollars, we, you know, the United States will soon become, in the not-too-distant future, the number one producer of gas and oil. We have it in abundance here. Through the fracking, through the technology that has unlocked the gas in stone formations, they call it hydraulic fracturing or fracking. We have all the energy we need. So it's become, the Middle East has become strategically a lot less important to the United States. So I think that shows that the motivation of the Obama administration in the Western powers is to seek a peaceful solution in Syria so that there's no more killing. But I think it's going to be very difficult to hold the nation of Syria together. I think lines will end up being redrawn ethnically, religiously, but unfortunately, I think we're in a quagmire, and the situation there could drag on for many, many more years, especially with Iran having such an interest in having the beachhead in the eastern Mediterranean. And they have a direct route from Baghdad to Damascus, right to the southern to the southern suburbs of Beirut, where Hassan Nasrallah is holed up in his below ground like a rat.
Very well. Mark Dankov, reaction, closing statements, if you can, in less than a minute.
Two things. Again, I'd urge people to read Dr. Philip Giraldi's piece today, The Gatekeepers of Zion, to see the absolute qualitative evidence and quantitative evidence of who's behind this. And since John Najjar suggested to an international public that I am some sort of kook for saying what I have said, I have another suggestion for the international audience, and that is to get the exact name of the organization that he is representing in Boston and researching who might be on the board of directors of this organization and get some information as to who might be financing it. I suspect there might be some overlapping relationships with some of the people and institutions and organizations that Philip Giraldi talked about today.
Very well. Thank you very much for that. We're fresh out of time. A commentator and broadcaster with the Ugly Truth Radio Network, Mark Dankov there. And we had the U.S. Director of World Council for the Cedars Revolution. Thank you so much, John Hajar, talking to us from Boston. That brings us to an end for this edition of The Debate from Mekaveh Tahweh and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.